Good morning. Welcome to Broad Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Excuse me. Welcome to the Lord's Supper celebration. And today the Lord's... That was horrible, that sneeze, huh? It was wet. The Lord's Supper celebration, the gospel doesn't need a pretty dress. The gospel message doesn't need a pretty dress. So today, just as we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a meal of remembrance to demonstrate our love for the Lord. We eat by breaking bread. We drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross. One of the most significant occurrences of love in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says this, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And at the Lord's Supper celebration, as a gathering of his believers, we remember the Lord's death on the cross, which paid the price for Adam's sin, the sin that is credited to the account of all mankind at physical birth, the sin resulting in spiritual death for us all. And at the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the shedding of the Lord's blood to cleanse us from this unrighteousness caused by a sin of independence, a turning away of creatures from their Creator. And we remember with gladness that the Lord Jesus Christ made a way for his creatures to be reconciled to him by dying on a cross and by being resurrected from the dead 3 days later, both to prove that he is God and to give us hope, the cure for unrighteousness. And now we believers in Christ know through the infallible word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated victorious at the right hand of his Father's throne, waiting for the moment when God the Father will make his enemies a footstool for the Lord's feet. And as believers in Christ, we are seated there with him right now, and we don't understand exactly what that means. We know that we're in union with him, waiting for the glorious time when we come again with him to witness his glory. And we know that he made it possible for all to be saved, everyone, whosoever, to be saved by what he did at the cross. Well, a friend of mine asked me to share my thoughts on a question. How easily are you influenced? And without knowing anything about what he was concerned about, I had an easy answer for the question. Very easily is the answer. You and I are very easily influenced. There's a better question. What influences you? As we reflect on what the Lord did at the cross during our celebration of this Lord's Supper, we'll consider the sources of influence that are available to us, and we'll assess the value of each of them. Welcome to the real Valentine's Day celebration, a festive observation of the love that really matters, the unconditional love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so to begin this Lord's Supper celebration, we're going to hear June Murphy sing a song she wrote. It's the title cut from her fourth album. It's available to purchase on iTunes, and it's called You Ran After Me. And if you are holding anything in your heart today that is keeping you from loving, this would be a great time to place your concerns in the hand of the Lord who loves you and who considers your problems to be his responsibility, especially the problem of unrighteousness, the problem every unbeliever has. So let's reflect on the power of the cross to remove the stain of sin as we listen to the opening song, You Ran After Me, sung by June Murphy, a song about what God is willing to do for his creatures.
Sought me for your own. You opened up salvation's door. Jesus, you are everything I need. I'm yours. I will follow where you lead. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for your own. You ran after me. You ran after me. I will eat the bread and drink the wine to remember what you did in time. Body broken, died and rose again. Gave your life.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for your demonstrated love. Thank you for now requiring us to clean up our acts to be pleasing to you. Help us to accept the simplicity of the free gift of your Son and his work at the cross for our salvation, providing our righteousness, absolute righteousness, free of charge. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the gospel doesn't need a pretty dress. The gospel doesn't need a pretty dress. What influences you? There are only two sources of influence, the world and the Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 highlights the dilemma. Do not be conformed to Satan's world system, but keep on being transformed by God through the renewing of your mind. There are the two choices. Be conformed to Satan's way of thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and prove what the will of God is. And the will of God is that which is good to him, that which is pleasing to him, and that which is perfect to him. And when we became new creatures at the moment of salvation, God killed the old man by means of his cross and made us a completely new and different being. We are not a better version of the old self. We are a completely new self. And in this way, God makes it clear that we are to do nothing, that we are to have nothing to do with the influence of the old and everything to do with the influence of the new. So what influences you, the world or the Christ? We're influenced by the world when we seek human honors, when we follow the crowd, when we value the approval of men, when worldly things dominate our time, when we barely have any time for God. I saw a woman walking her dog the other day, and she had picked out the perfect outfit. She had a new baby in a papoose sack on her chest. She had the perfect little dog on a way too long leash. And believe me, the dog was walking her. She was not walking him. And I imagined how much time she had spent to look impressive, to match the picture that she had conjured up in her head, a picture given to her by the world, a picture from some magazine. The world was laughing at her now, not admiring her because she didn't have control of herself or the baby or the dog, and she was in no position to perform the dirty task of cleaning up the dog poop, which you have to do to keep from getting fined. Or how about an intimate conversation I had recently with a friend who confided that he was tithing a tenth of his salary to his religious church, but had no savings. What influences you, the world or the Christ? We are eager to fulfill the requests of the world, but we always end up unfulfilled, and we always end up with the bill. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 warn us concerning the signs of the deterioration of the world. And by the way, these signs have been around for years and years and years. The proof that the world's ideas are nothingness. This is the proof that the world's ideas are nothingness. Here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Realize this, that in the last days, that's a reference to every generation, difficult times will come. 2 Timothy 3, 2. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. 2 Timothy 3, 3. Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, 2 Timothy 3, 4, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3, 5, holding to a superficial form of the spiritual life, although they've even denied its power. Avoid such men as these. I asked a friend of mine why Barah Ministries doesn't cut it for him. And he told me he was more attracted to churches that have a social aspect, to churches that have an entertainment aspect, like a band. Well, believe me, as we seek to grow Barah Ministries, I certainly want to join the folly of the megachurches and do zealous things to attract people to the church. But ultimately, the church is not a singles bar, and the church is not a concert. The church is a place to learn about Christ and His Word, and the truth does not need a pretty dress to make it attractive. The Word of God is attractive because when you're laying in a hospice, gargling the liquid in your lungs, a social life and a concert won't come through for you, but the Word of God will. So I ask you this question. What influences you, the world or the Christ? Well, as we do every month, we stop to enjoy the elements. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating the Christ and His cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who He is as a person. We drink to remember His work, the voluntary sacrifice that He made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute, our sin substitute. And we're grateful for what God has done for us. We're grateful that God runs after us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is and keeps on being My body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering Me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing His death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with My blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do so for the purpose of remembering Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead until He comes again in the second coming. As you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let's keep giving thanks that we are loved unconditionally and accepted fully by the Lord who is always there, the one we can depend on. And let's keep on being transformed by His life and His death and His word. And let's enjoy His unconditional love for us day by day. And that's the name of our Lord's Supper song. Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration, the gospel doesn't need a pretty dress. The gospel doesn't need a pretty dress. The world doesn't cut it. Christ does. And one of the final things the Lord Jesus Christ said as he hung dying on a cross was captured in John chapter 19, verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Lord was telling us that everything he did at the cross, and everything he says, and everything he thinks, and everything he does is totally sufficient. And when we are conformed to the world, we think Christ needs help. We think it's Christ plus something else for salvation. We think it's faith plus something else for success. We think it's doing the things that are popular to get ahead. The gospel message doesn't need a pretty dress. It's totally sufficient. What influences you, the world or the Christ? When you're influenced by Christ and his word, you realize that all the things that Satan offers are illusions. The bigness of a church, the promise of pornography, the praise of men. I love it that our president's approval rating is low. It means he's doing the things that aren't approved of by the world. God does his most meaningful work in small places with insignificant people who are laboring in the obscurity of the background. When I think of Barah Ministries, I think of David. And I think of how many years he spent out in the pasture with those stinky sheep. And I just wonder, I can't wait to talk to him in heaven and just find out what he was thinking during all those years when he was waiting out there with those stinky sheep. And then he became a king. And I can't help but see the connection about how God works with us, that we work in relative obscurity. And we work at small things, and then all of a sudden God gives us the big thing once he knows that we can handle the small things. God does his most meaningful work in small places. I am glad that I was not a popular father. In my executive coaching practice, I hear regularly about the damage that permissive parents cause in adults. Let me repeat that. Regularly, in my executive coaching practice, I hear regularly about the damage that permissive parents cause in adults. And the people that say it, they always go just short of accusing their parents. But there's no doubt in my mind that they're accusing their parents of mishandling parenting. And you know what? That's the truth most of the time. Most of us as parents mishandle the parenting task because we're learning it as we go. But permissive parents cause terrible things to happen in adults, and ultimately they are despised by their grown children. Well, what influences you, the world or the Christ? How is the world telling you to parent? How is the world telling you to be in a relationship? What is the world telling you about going to church? If you look at those messages, they're not strong messages, and they don't lead to good things. What the Lord would have you be influenced by is the filling of the Spirit, that still, small voice that tells you exactly how to handle situations. Let your life be guided by his voice and not by the illusions presented by the world, lies designed to bring you shame and designed to dishonor God's handiwork. Let Christ and his word be your influence. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Thank you for putting us in this place. Thank you for the knowledge that we have that there will be a day when we will be on this earth with you reigning, and that we will not have to go through any of the things that we're going through now, because we will have a perfect ruler and a perfect environment and perfect circumstance. And we can't wait for that day. And thank you for letting us know that even after that time of perfection, where you, the perfect ruler, are ruling, that there will be evil and that you will put it down. And then you will take us into an eternal state that forever is face to face with you and forever is in a place of absolute righteousness with no discord, no dissension, no anything of any kind. And we just thank you, Father, for the knowledge that you give us through your word, that we are going to that place. And we just ask you to keep reminding us when we're under the pressure of tribulation to persevere, because perseverance brings proven character and proven character hope. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, and we're grateful to celebrate the Lord's Supper today in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Amen.